I'm going to pray before I read, and before I pray, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you, while I'm praying, I'm going to ask you to ask God to speak to your heart during the message. I don't believe that I'll do a whole lot of wild preaching this morning, but I just want to preach to you a little bit, talk to you a little along these lines of being a servant of God, of serving the Lord. And you don't serve the Lord when you're excited. You serve the Lord all the time. You serve the Lord not when it feels good, but you serve the Lord consistently. And so this morning, more than I'm going to preach to you, I'm going to talk to you about being a servant of God. I think it's a fitting service to do that. There's a lot of empty places, a lot of holes in the crowd. A lot of folks, for one reason or another, not in the service today. And isn't it funny that we call it a service? We call it a church service. What does that mean? Well, modern teaching is that we come to church to be served. That's the foundational principle of many of our churches today, is we come to be served. We come in sleepy and tired, wanting someone to pump us up and to stir us up. And just like when we sit down and watch the television, they're supposed to serve you, but you don't come to church to be served. You come to church to serve the Lord. It's the Lord that said, that told us to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're supposed to be faithful to church because we're servants of the Lord. We're servants of the Most High God. We serve Him. The Bible says in one of the verses I'll read in a moment, Psalm 2:11 says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. To serve the Lord is a high calling. It's a great duty. And it's a neglected part of our modern day Christian thought. Modern Christianity is based on how can I be served? Entertain me. I mean, and you can go to all the singings you want to go to, but a singing convention is based on the idea that I'm going to set in my... And I'm not mad at anybody for that. I'm just telling you that's different than church service. The singing convention is you go and you sing and you listen to the singing and it refreshes you, and the singers come and they serve you and they sing to you, and then they take up what's called a free will offering, and they get their offering and go buy more cigarettes with it and keep on going down the road singing and praising the Lord. And not all of them, just your favorites. Amen. And but I'm picking on you a little bit when I say that, but that's the idea. I want to be served. I want to be served. I want to go to church, and I want the praise band and the praise team, and I want to be served. When the truth of the matter is, a church service is a part of our service to the Lord. I think it ought to be a joyous time. It ought to be a joyful time. It ought to be an exciting time. It ought to be a refreshing time. But all those are secondary to our attitude. What's our attitude? Is our attitude that of one wanting to be served, or is our attitude that of a servant? Do we come to church wanting to be served, or do we come to church as a servant of the Most High God? And so think about that as I pray, and I want you to listen this morning as I try to bring the message to you that God's given us. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray this morning, Lord, help us. And dear God, I don't intentionally come to the pulpit somber. Lord, I'd like to come more excited. Father, maybe there'll be some excitement in the message as we continue along these lines. Lord, I believe though, dear Lord God, that there's a nuts and bolts issue that we need to deal with, dear God, as Christians. Dear Heavenly Father, that Lord, that we Christians today, Lord, the churches today seem, dear God, to be riding a wave of emotionalism. And dear Lord, without the emotionalism, dear God, we do very little for you. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to realize as we leave this place that this morning as Christians that we're servants of the Most High God. We have a duty before God, an obligation before you, dear God. And Lord, it matters not what our feelings may be. What matters is, dear God, what your expectations of us would be. And dear God, I just pray you'd help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you for the amen after the prayer. Amen. All right. Proverbs 25:14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And into one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." So this man brought his talents in, he delivered them to his servants, and straightway he took his journey. He didn't stand around to see how they would do. He just left. He felt like he could trust them. He felt like that they would respond right, and he had. So he left straightway. He took his journey. Verse 16 says, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents." Wow! He doubled what the master had given him. He felt an expectation was placed upon him. He felt a duty was given to him, a charge was given to him, and he went out and instantly and he began to trade and to deal with what had been trusted him, and he doubled it. Then the Bible says, "And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. It makes you almost wonder, what if the certain master had given him 10? Would he have gone out and done 10? I mean, these men, they batted 100%. Makes you wonder, maybe, what if the master had given them more? I mean, these were faithful men. I mean, they doubled what had been trusted to them. Then the Bible says, "But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." Well, he felt like he was being conservative. Really what he was doing was being lazy. He had no vision. He had no interest in prospering his master. His purpose was to hold the fort, simply, was to maintain, to keep the status quo, was just to get by, just to do what was expected of him. I mean, all he asked him to do was keep it, so he did. He said, "I'll just go bury it." He said, "Then I won't have to worry about it." Almost kind of makes you think about a Christian that gets saved, and what we call, they sit down on their blessed assurance, and they say, "Well, okay, don't worry about it. I'm saved. Hey, I'm going to heaven when I die. Boy, my sins are all forgiven." And if every once in a while some song is sung or some preacher preaches a stirring message, I'll get excited, I'll get stirred up, and I'll shout, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I got my 1 talent, I know exactly where it is, and ain't nobody can touch it. I know right where it is, it's buried, and praise God, I got it. It's there. Hallelujah." Go back to sleep, forget about it, till the next time somebody pushes their button and stirs them up. But these other weren't that way. They had been trusted. One had received 5. The other had received 2. And they couldn't just go bury it. They couldn't just sit on it. They couldn't just rest. I mean, they felt like that they had been trusted by someone who cared about them, who had evaluated them, and they felt like they needed to be busy with what had been trusted to them. They felt like a charge had been entrusted them. They felt like a duty had been placed upon them. They felt like an opportunity had been given to them. Somebody trusted them. Somebody felt obligated. Somebody felt like they could do something. Felt like they had some potential and entrusted them with a talent, and they did something with it. But verse 18, "He that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." You say, well, that conservative attitude probably In the long run, the Lord was glad for that, because what do you know? Those other two could have gone out with their five, that one with their two. They could have gone out and lost it all. And the Lord wouldn't have been happy about that. Well, let's see what the Lord's response was, what the master's response. Verse 20 says, "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, Thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Well, the Lord's pleased with that servant's attitude. Verse 22 says, "He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, Thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Verse 24, what's he saying? He said to those first two, he said, "You've done what was expected." He said, "You've done right." He said, "Now is the time to rest." He said, "Now you can rest." He said, "Now you can rejoice." He said, "Now you can go in and be glad for what you've done." See, we've got it backwards though. We want to just hide what we got and rejoice. And God said it ain't rejoicing time, it's working time. There's a text, a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament said, "This is not your rest." Let me stop just for a minute, pause just for a minute and say this, a football team. No particular team, I wouldn't mention any particular team, but a football team per se, prepares. In the spring they prepare. In the fall they prepare. And they work hard and they prepare for a ball game. One prepares and they want to celebrate. Yesterday was the opening day of college football. There was a large school up in the Pennsylvania area that prepared, and it was their opening day. And they had their pep rally on the sports channel on Friday night. And they got a new coach, a whole new everything's going to be brand new. And they prepared, and they just want to get that first win under their belt. But guess what? They didn't get it. You see, a lot of times, the attitude is, we'll rejoice before the victory. You rejoice after the victory. Then what a team will do, they'll win one game and they'll get all excited and say, "Well, boy, yeah, we won that one game." And then next week half comes. And they didn't prepare as hard. They didn't practice as hard. And they go out on the same field that they won last week, and they walk out and they line up, but they ain't prepared and they get whipped. They lose. You see, because they want to rejoice before it's time to rejoice. There's a duty. There's a service. And I just want to say to all God's people, it's not time to celebrate yet. Amen? It's not time. Listen, there's rejoicing. There's joy and rejoicing. But the game's not over yet. I mean, the Lord hasn't returned yet. I mean, we're still here. And God saved us for a reason. He saved me for a reason. He saved you for a reason. The Bible says in verse 23, He tells this one servant to enter into the joy of the Lord. And verse 24 says, "Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid that talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." Didn't even bring it to him. This servant was just lazy. He was so lazy. He said, "I'll tell you where it's at." He said, "Here's a map." He said, "I drew it up for you." He said, "It's over yonder there in that field." He said, "If you want it, you go dig it up." Now that's the definition of lazy. Didn't even have enough sense to go get it and bring it back to him. But I wonder how often we consider our service to the Lord, the investment that He made in us. I mean, every breath you and I breathe after we're saved really ought to be in service to God. Every breath we breathe. You know, if I had died before I was saved, you know where I would go? I'd go to a place called hell. But since I've been saved, Jesus saved me. And when I cease to breathe as a saved person, you know where I'm going to go? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The very minute this body ceases to breathe, if I were to die today by some accident or something happened, or if my wife were to find that pistol that I've hid in the house or anything like that, or she, I would say ball bat, but she's too weak to hit me with it right now. But if I were to die today, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. You know why? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross. God gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God saved me because He allowed His Son Jesus to come to this earth and live a perfect sinless life and die on a cruel cross. Jesus was beaten for me. He was bruised for me. Listen, His eyes, His face was bloodied for me. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails, whipped and abused. He was nailed to a cross for me. And how often the days pass to what we don't even stop to thank Him for dying on the cross for our sins. How many days pass, how many weeks pass that we don't even think about it? We get more upset if the cable goes out, or if this problem happens, or if that problem happens. And we'll go days upon days not even thinking. This is just inspection. Maybe there's some people not here this morning. I don't know, but you're here. And God values you. He valued enough to invest in us the blood of His only begotten Son. You see, God could allow me to continue and going on and died and been lost for all of eternity. But God chose to save me. And now that He saved me, He's given me breath and He's given me a life. And He's given me life and a breath to breathe. And He's put me here on this earth. How could any of us say, I just don't think I want to serve God. I just don't think I want to live for Him. I think I'll just go to church when I want to. I'll just witness when it's convenient. I'll serve the Lord as much as it's convenient on my circumstances. I'll do it if it's easy. But you let there be any adversity, I don't think I'm up for that. I'm glad that Jesus was up for adversity, aren't you? I'm glad that when He prayed that night in the Garden of Gethsemane and He prayed and He wept, as it were, great drops of blood pouring from His body. And He said, Lord, He said, if this cup pass from me, He said, if Thy will be that this cup would pass from me, so be it. He said, but if not, Thy will be done, not mine. And Jesus was willing to go that night, to leave that Garden of Gethsemane, be taken and to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. And He was willing to bury, to carry that cruel cross up Calvary and die in my place and yours so that I could be set free. You see, in Joshua 24:15, Joshua says to the children of Israel, he says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. You see, before you were saved, we were all servants of sin. The Bible says, the works of your father ye will do. Say, preacher, why do people do what they do? Because they're serving their father. They're serving the flesh. But hallelujah. Hey, thanks be to God, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, He died to set me free from sin. He died so that I don't have to be a servant of sin anymore. I'm free. Hey, I'm free. Listen, the old flesh had me and I was doomed to die and go to hell. But thank God Jesus died on the cross. And listen, and He sent salvation so that I could be set free from the bondage of sin, death, and hell and the grave. I'm no longer a servant of sin. You see, everybody serves somebody. He said, choose you this day, not if you will serve, but who you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, it don't seem like much, but sounds like an awful lot to me. That ought to be a desire of every one of our lives, is simply to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. 1 Samuel 12:20, Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Boy, how does the Lord want me to serve Him? With all of my heart. The Lord wants me to serve Him fervently. I love at home when the kids are there, I love asking them to do something. Not. I mean, you notice, those of you that have children or grandchildren, you ask them to do something, it's like you're calling them a dirty name. You ever notice that? I mean, you know, hey, can you carry out the trash? Oh. You can't imagine the feeling that between me and my son when when I'm not there and I'm picking on him a little bit, when I'm not there, it's really bad. I mean, he'll say things to his mother, like, my own son, my beloved son that y'all see, that y'all are going to shake his hand and he's going to smile at you. And what he'll say, oh, but what does he say? He'll say, I have to do everything around here. He says, I'm like a slave around here. He'll say things like that. I mean, come up with all kinds of stuff. I've told her, use sticks, whatever, beat him, whatever, shoot him, whatever you got to do. Don't put up, listen. But he'll come up with the awfulest things. I mean, his mom was there this week helping him and trying to get him to do something. And boy, listen, he'd already carried out two bags of garbage. But can you believe they asked him to carry out the third? Now, they're not all that way, but sometimes they're all that way. You see, it's just one of the hardest things in the world to instill in the heart of a human being, the heart of a servant. Listen very carefully. There is nothing greater in the eyes of God than the heart of a servant. The greatest thing that you or I can do, it won't save you. You can't serve the Lord and inherit salvation. You accept what Jesus did on the cross to be saved, but the greatest thing you or I can do as Christians is say, Lord, I'm your servant. What would you have me to do? Say, preacher, I'd like to learn how to pray, all right, when you wake up in the morning. Make this your prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for saving me on the cross. Thank you for dying for me and giving me a home in heaven. You don't have to hurry on this part right here. You can spend all the time you want right here. No matter how bad you feel, you thank Him for Calvary. And then just say, Lord, thank you that you died for me. And God, I want to serve you today. Lord, use me today. God, help me to maybe say a kind word to somebody. Or Lord, help me to be a help to somebody. Or be a witness to somebody. Or Lord, help me to hand out a tract today. Or God, if there's anything you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. I heard an illustration once by old preacher Curtis Hudson. Curtis Hudson said that he had told the Lord, made a covenant with the Lord. He said, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. He said, the only reason I won't is if you don't tell me. But if you tell me, I'll do it. He said he was driving down the road late one night and he saw a fella up on one of these bridge things and the fella was hitchhiking. Now, I'm not telling you you have to pick up hitchhikers, but the fella was hitchhiking and he said as soon as he saw him, before he ever put his thumb up, he said that he knew that the Lord was telling him to pick up the guy and witness to him. He said, but I didn't do it. He said, I started saying, now Lord, you know that's crazy. He said, that guy will kill me. He said, I don't want to die. He said, he just argued with the Lord. And the Lord said, well, didn't you tell me that And he reminded him of that promise that he had made. And he said, I drove about 5 or 6 miles. He said everything. He said, do not turn unlawful to turn around here. What's that word? Authorized vehicles only. He said, after about 6 or 7 of those, I decided that mine was authorized. He said, I went back, turned around, came back, and he said, there stood that guy. And he said, I pulled over. He said, as soon as I pulled over, I wanted to know who I was. He said, I'm a Baptist preacher. And, you know, he said, I didn't want him to kill me, at least not knowing who I was. He said, I picked him up, and he said, I started talking to him, and he said, you know, he said, buddy, the reason I picked you up, he said, the Lord told me to pick you up. And the guy looked at him, and he said, yeah. He said, I wondered about that. He said, when you drove by, he said, I thought you was going to stop. He said, I saw you looking. He said, I was surprised you didn't stop. He said, just for some reason, I felt like you was going to stop. And he started driving, talking to that guy and witnessing to him, and he was able to lead him to the Lord. The man got saved that night. Heard the same preacher tell a story one time. This is the funniest story you ever heard, if you heard him tell it. But he said he couldn't sleep one night. He lived close to Atlanta, Georgia, and he had a man in his church, a great big guy named Hewlett or something, and he said he had a little Renault Dauphine. Y'all ever heard those little Renault cars, like a what was it that they came along later on with what is it? Yeah, the Gremlin. Yeah, it's like that Gremlin car they come along with, a little old car. And thank you, Debbie. And he said he had one of those, and he called this guy up, and he woke him up. He said, didn't you tell me he'd call you any time, day or night, if you wanted to go soul winning? He said, yeah. He said, well, let's go. He said, are you kidding? He said, no, I'm serious. He said, let's go. And he said, I'll pick you up. And he got over there, and he had 2 gallons of gasoline, or a gallon can of gasoline. And he stopped at the gas, filled it up, and he said, where are we going? He said, we're going to go drive up and down the interstate, see if anybody's broke down, needs gas. Listen. He said, we drove along. He said, we saw these people. He said, they were broke down on the side of the road. And he said, he went around, and he started talking to the people. And the guy said, he asked him what's wrong. He said, I'm out of gas. And he said, that's great. He said, I was hoping to find somebody like you. He said, I got some gasoline. He said, I'll let you have it. The guy stopped him. He said, wait a minute. He said, I know what your trick is. He said, gasoline sells for $1.10 a gallon. He said, I bet you want $4 a gallon for that gasoline, don't you? And he said, no. And he said, no, sir. And then he said, I started thinking. He said, well, that was a good idea. I should have thought of that myself. But he said, he talked to the guy, and he said, he gave him the gasoline. He said, before I give you the gas, he said, I want to talk to you. And he witnessed to him. He said, that man, his wife, his kids, they all got saved there in the car that day on the middle of the road in the middle of the night. He said, before the night was over, they'd driven up and down all night long. He said, they'd driven up and down the road, led 15 people to the Lord that night, just driving up and down the road looking for people broke down. You see, what do you call that? See, I call that dangerous. Well, whatever you want to call it, it is dangerous. But I'm going to tell you what I call that is just being a servant of the Lord. You know, you don't know that what the Lord has something He wants you to do. You just got to be willing to serve Him. To serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Acts 20:19 says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of Jews. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let's see what the Lord said to this servant in verse 25. He said, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I would have received mine own with usury. I use the word usury means interest or money earned from his money. Take heed, take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, he shall have abundance, but from him which shall not shall be taken away that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You say that verse right there teaches that you can lose your salvation. I'm going to tell you what that verse teaches. That one talented man, if that verse has anything to do with salvation, that one talented man was faith. God gives every man a measure of faith. Let me tell you, let me show you something just for a minute. I won't bring anybody up here to use an illustration, but if this little pen right here in my hand represents faith, God gives me enough faith to be saved. God gives everybody enough faith to be saved. You're saved by not by works, but by faith. If faith was something that I produced, then it would be a work. But God gives me the faith to be saved. If I take the faith that God gives me and I go bury it, then I've not used it. I've not invested it in salvation. And so that's why he's casting out our darkness, because he didn't even, he took the one thing, the one talent, the measure of faith that was given him, and he went out and buried it. Didn't even invest it. So God tells me this, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, you're going to want to do something for God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith without works is dead. So, preacher, what does that mean? Does that mean I have to work to be saved? No, if you're saved, there'll be some works. You don't work to get saved. But works is as natural for a saved person as breathing is for a living person. You know why you breathe? Because you're alive. That's a result of life. Listen to me just a minute. Don't die on me. Don't go to sleep on me. Listen. I want to just give you a few things. Number one, serve Him because He saved you. He saved your soul from hell to an eternal home in heaven. You may never hear another sermon I preach. May not hear another thing I say. May wish you hadn't been here to hear it today. But I want to tell you what. We owe the Lord our service because He saved us from hell. You say, preacher, I'm just not that great. I'll never, man, I'm not a public, I can't do this. Hey, you can make all the excuses you want to say, but you're going to heaven, aren't you? If you're saved, you've got a testimony. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. All that God says, He says, you're saved. So serve me. I saved you from hell. Think about that just for a minute. Hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. But God saved me from that. And then, not only that, He gives me a home in heaven. Well, what a wonderful thing. God's given me a home in heaven. Someday I'll live there and I'll dwell with Him forever. You know, I'm not against charity. I'm not against those things. But I'm going to tell you this. If someone does something kind to me, I accept, I'm grateful. But when I think about God, when I think about the kindness that He showed to me, I'm grateful. But my gratitude doesn't cause me to just want to sit down and do nothing. My gratitude causes me to want to say, Lord, all that I have is Yours, and all that I am is Yours, and all that I'll ever be, Lord, is because of You. So Lord, let me serve You. Let me live for You. Let me honor You. They say this, I was talking about football earlier, but you know, you wonder sometimes what makes a great football coach? What makes a great basketball coach? And a lot of times it's X's and O's has a part in it, and the players they get, but ultimately what it comes down to is how much effort are those players willing to put forth for that man they call coach on game day? Has He gendered enough of a in them to where they're willing to lay it all on the line, to go out and play hard and respond to all the coaching and all the training and do what the X's and O's say? But listen, we've got this book right here. We don't need a new Bible, amen? We don't need a new program. We just need some folks that deep down on the inside are willing to say to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I'm willing to lay it all on the line for You. I'll do whatever You want me to do. I'll live for You. I'll serve You. I'll do it. That ought to be our attitude. Lord, what would You have me to do? I'm glad for preachers. I'm glad for singers. But I really and truly, I don't have to have a preacher or a singer to cause me to want to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord because of who He is. A fellow a few years back wrote a book and titled it, teaching it, you know, for your purpose on life. And I want to give you the title of it because I don't want you to go buy any of them. But And He's going to lead you and teach you how to serve the Lord. You know what? I don't serve the Lord because of a book somebody wrote. I serve the Lord because of who He is. I serve the Lord because of what He is. And I want to serve Him better. I've never come to this pulpit, and I want to say this quickly, but I've never come to this pulpit feeling like the week prior to the service that I've served the Lord as well as I should. Someday before I die, I'd like to be able to say, you know, I'd like to be able to come to this pulpit and say, well, I've done all that I should have done for the Lord this week. I've been the servant I ought to be. But I always feel like there's more I could have done. I always feel like I could have done better. But I'm glad the Lord lets me keep on serving Him on Monday, even though I didn't do all I could have done the week before. I'm glad He lets me just keep on. Amen. I'm glad He didn't kick me out of the army. But I'm still in the army of the Lord. But to think that I'm just going to settle my tail all week long and all of my life long and never do anything for God, never serve Him, that doesn't make any sense. I don't want to serve the Lord. I don't want to live for Him. Number two, serve Him with humbleness of mind and heart. And that means serve Him with sincerity. Don't be a fake. That word sincere means without wax. Well, I tell you what, and I don't know about you, but I've been in church all my life, and there's hardly anything that bothers me any worse than wax Christians, fakes. People that are fakes and phonies. You know what? Just be who God made you to be. Amen. Serve the Lord with all humbleness of mind and heart. Serve the Lord with sincerity. I hear people that want to be somebody else. You know, God didn't make you somebody else. He made you you. And He wants you to serve Him as for who you are and do for God what you'd have Him to be. I'm glad we're not all the same. Amen. I tell you what, hey, I wouldn't mind if more of us knew how to say amen. I wouldn't mind if every once in a while there wasn't a few people in the shout. You know, one thing I like to say, God, give us about 5 shouters. Amen. Give us some ameners. I used to like when we had the choir up here, and old Brother Selby would be up there singing. And man, he wasn't singing. He'd get happy and praise the Lord and stumble around. And you'd have to wonder if he's had something or whatever. But, I mean, listen, I like the fact that we're all different. We're not all the same. But thank God, listen, for those that will be who they are. If God tells you to say amen, don't look around, see what other people are saying, say amen. God tells you to shout, shout. But listen, hey, if you're a soul winner, whatever, hey, we ought to all serve the Lord. Be who you are, amen. Serve the Lord with sincerity and truth. Serve Him with joy and rejoicing and gladness. Simply this, be glad for who you serve. God, got this, this, yeah.
Who? What are you? I'm the servant of God. Where are you going? Going to heaven when I die.
Well, I went to Bible college with a whole boatload of these. Man, wear a 3-piece tuxedo off to go to the store.
Where are you going? The grocery store. Where are you going? Going to heaven when I die. I love God. Amen.
Hey, isn't that wrong? Hey, God ain't going to mind if you smile every once in a while. And listen, hey, I really don't think God gets upset if I take my little girl fishing every once in a while. Amen? Now, I'd like to be this, now I'm just teasing, but listen, hey, there's priorities in those kinds of things. Amen? And listen, hey, I think God, hey, He's a merciful God. He's a good God. And God wants us to serve Him with joy in our heart. Amen? There's nothing wrong with having a little joy in your heart.
We have a Christian home. Quit laughing around here. Hey, all right, what's the big idea? No joking in here, this is a Christian home.
No, it's not. It's a sad home, amen?
Amen.
A Christian home, there's joy and happiness.
Right.
Not to be that way in church.
Now, brother, we come to the house of the Lord and leave your smiles outside and all your happiness, leave them on the footsteps of the church house. We're now in the Lord's altar area. Let us not be happy here. We're servants of God. Some visitor comes in and says, "Dear Lord, I don't want any part of this." You know what it ought to be? It ought to be that the devil's children come into the church house where God's children gather. And they say, "You know what? We don't have near this much fun at 10, 8, 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning.
The people I've been running with at 11 o'clock on the Monday morning and Sunday morning, they ain't laughing. And they ain't smiling. They're all got headaches and crawling around sick because they had a good time. But I'd like to have a good time on Sunday morning, not just on Saturday evening. I'd like to have a good time on Monday morning. You know, they say don't ever expect anything to get down to work on Monday morning because everybody's still hung over from Sunday night. Don't expect anything to be done late on Friday evening because they're all going to leave early to get drunk for the Friday. But listen, hey, there's a better way to serve the Lord. There's a better way to serve the Lord. That's not serving the Lord. But anyway, hey, you can serve the flesh and serve the Lord, serve the devil if you want to, but you won't be happy. Serve the Lord. You know, it's a good thing to serve the Lord. Serve Him with the realization that He's the rewarder. So, preacher, I served the Lord for a little while. Nobody did anything for me. I didn't get a pat on the back. You may not ever, but God will. Amen. Because no service you render for the Lord ever goes unnoticed by Him. And all that really matters is what's the Lord know. Bible says not to let your left hand know what your right hand does. Hey, he'd smack me. Well, I'll smack you too. But listen, hey, you don't have to worry about somebody else giving you applause or noticing what you do. I figured out a long time ago that it doesn't matter what anybody thinks, what everybody else knows. I'm not serving you, I'm serving the Lord. I want to be your servant as I serve the Lord. And I'm glad that we have a church full of people that are servants that also want to serve each other as we serve the Lord. I think we got a wonderful church of servants. I'm not telling you you're not. I'm just telling you, continue in your service to the Lord. We get the idea, well, I've done enough. I'll just quit now. They want me to do it all. Hey, you know what? Just serve the Lord till you breathe your last breath. Amen?
Amen.
Echo was playing piano down yonder, and Lord knows she didn't. I mean, see, now she's playing up here, and she don't even want me talking about it right now. She gets uncomfortable. She don't even want me to mention it because she's not doing it for us. She's done it for the Lord. Amen? I wish she'd just do a little bit better. Now I'm just teasing it. You're doing a great job, Echo. Thank God for that. Listen, hey, here we are. It isn't awful trying to have church without a banana player. I thank God. Listen, hey, it's a wonderful thing to have someone playing the banana for us. And Chuck, he leads that singing because he's like he graduated from the same school of song leading as I did. But you know why he did that? Because we asked him to. He wants. You know what? Because I happen to know he wants to serve the Lord. He wants to fill in the gap. He wants to serve the Lord. That's why. You know, the Bible says that to be first a willing mind, it's accepted according to what a man hath, not what he hath not. And our willingness ought to be, I'll do anything. Whatever God wants me to do, I'll do it. All the tragedies, yeah, I'm all for that. I love the Lord. I want to live for the Lord. I want to serve whatever I want to do. That ought to be our attitude. You know why God gives us a local church? Because it's a place of service. The attitude, the worldly attitude today is it's a place to come to be served. The local church is a place of service. Serve Him with this, and I want to hurry. Serve Him with perseverance and faithfulness. What does that mean? It means this, consistently. One thing I do not want my kids to see me serve the Lord for a little while and then quit. I may never be the servant of God that I ought to be, but I want them to see the fact that I serve the Lord with all the life that God gives to me. I don't want to serve the Lord for 50 years and then quit and say He's not worthy anymore. One thing I really want, and the only thing I really hope for, I want to die serving God. I want to die living for Him. If that means crawling to the Lord's house, you say, well, you don't have to come to church to be saved. I know, I've heard all that stuff. Amen. That's modern Christianity. The old timers wanted to be in the house of God. Amen. When the doors were open, they's there, and you had to beat them away. That's old time Christianity. That's a servant of the Lord. Not because it felt good, because it was God's place, amen? You wanted to be there. You wanted to serve the Lord. Consistently. I want to give you something real fast. Be consistent in your place of service. Be consistent. You know what our churches need? Our church, every church needs this, consistency. You know why there's empty seats? Because some folks are consistent in their inconsistency. You know why sometimes we come to church and the church house is full? Sometimes it's not so full because of inconsistency. You know what we need? We need people that are consistent. Just plan on being there. Amen. Be consistent. Consistent in your place of service. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:20, the faithful man shall abound with blessings. Be consistent in your service toward His church, toward the church of God. The Bible talks about in Proverbs 3:9, it talks about the first fruits of all of our increase. I want to tell you something. The way that God has ordained that the church functions is through the service of His people. God has ordained that through the tithes and the offerings of the people of God that His local church would go forward. You know, God didn't plan for Christians to sit at home and send their money off to some ministry in Houston somewhere so the man that leads the ministry could buy a jet and fly around the country or somebody, something like that. God wanted there to be in the community's local New Testament Bible preaching churches. God wants there to be a faithful man of God in that church that can give his life primarily to the cause of ministering to the church and preaching the Word of God in that church. God wants that church to be progressive, not regressive. Wasn't the will of God for that church to have to fight to pay the bills and provide and the church falling apart and parking lot falling apart. The will of God was that church would be progressive, that it would be an honor to the name of Christ and go forward. And God chose a thing called tithes and offerings. What is that? That's just God's people giving of what God gives them to help promote the work of God through their local church. Most people are consistent in that, but many are not consistent. The inconsistencies of God's people in the areas of tithes and offerings hinders the work of God in the local church. God bless those who have determined to be consistent and say, you know what, I want if tithing is the pattern of God to help the local church and to help keep the church going, then I want to be consistent in my tithing. And if God allows for me to have an offering is over and above the tithe. God says God allows for me to have an offering, then I'm going to put that offering in. I'm going to do it willingly and gladly, and I'm going to say, God, here's an offering. I'm putting this in the church. Hey, listen. You're not doing that for a show. You're doing that for the Lord's sake. I one time was setting a service, and during the service, they asked the people, they said, all right, how many of you give $100? This is a good ministry. It was a good work. My mom and dad were there. And the preacher specified, he said, don't give your tithe. That goes to your local church. He said, but maybe you have an offering you'd like to give to this ministry and to this ministry. And he said, anybody here give $100? He said, I'd like to see you. I'd like for you to stand up. My mom and dad were there that night, and I was with them. And Dad didn't know that I could hear him. I wasn't a preacher or anything at the time. But Dad leaned over to Mom after a few minutes, and he said, Ruby, he said, write them a $100 check. He said, but I don't want you standing up. He said, I'm not doing it for them. He said, I'm going to do it for God. You see, my dad used to say oftentimes, you can't outgive God. And you can. God will bless you when you're consistent. What does consistent mean? It means somebody can count on you. I want to thank God for those of you here this morning that are consistent in your church attendance. Because I'm going to tell you, there's not a service what comes. And I told you I wouldn't preach to you. I'm talking to you. There's not a service what comes that what this preacher doesn't wonder, Lord, will there be anybody there today? But yet there are a few people that you can count on are going to be here. You may not be here every service, but certain services, you're going to be there. Unless there's some providential hindrance, you're going to be there. But some folks, and I'm not preaching against them, I'm not mad at anybody, but it's a great distraction to be so inconsistent here, here, here. You can't do anything that way. You wouldn't keep a job that way. You need to be consistent. You're consistent in eating. Some of you like to be eating right now. You don't eat at 12 o'clock 7 days out of the week, but on Sunday, you got to eat at noon. Consistently, you're starving right about now. And about 12:10, you hate me. But listen, there needs to be consistency among God's people. I want to tell you something. You think, oh, there's no big deal about coming to church. You know how many people? Someday we'll count. I'll just let Harold open them blinds. He can count how many people drive by up there. You know there's people that drive by up there and they look down here. And you know what they look to see? Are there any cars in that parking lot? You know what those cars in that parking lot are a testimony of? That there's something in this building worthy of those people's attendance. You know what it says when people drive by and see an empty church parking lot, just four or five cars? It says, ain't much going on there, is there? There's folks that might drive by 100 times and someone might witness to them. And they say, you know, I think there's a church. I'm gonna go to that church. It seems like people are interested there. Parking lot's full Sunday morning. Boy, how there needs to be consistency among God's people, among God's servants. Be consistent, and I'm done. Be consistent in your service as a witness of God's amazing grace. Be consistent. Ought not a week pass in our life what we don't let somebody know? Buddy, guess what I am? I'm a sinner saved by grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was on my way to hell, but God, by His grace and mercy, saved me and gave me a home in heaven. And if I got what I deserved, I'd go to hell and burn forever. But Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for me on heaven. On the cross, He died for my sins so that I could have a home in heaven. You see, God wants us to be consistent in our service to Him. Heads bowed, eyes closed.